devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Abhaya? Abhaya is always eager to do some service. Can you open both side doors, please? Prop them open so they stay open. Thank you. So we get some air. Hare Krishna. And if there's anybody upstairs, please make sure all those windows are open. One of the best ways to fight transmission of diseases like COVID and flu is to keep air flowing. So let's do that. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasa, the name of the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naisiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God at whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, and today's text is 30. Bhuyas Tvam Tapa Atishta Vidyam Chaiva Madashayam Tabhyam Antaridi Brahman Lokan Chakshasi Apavritan Puyastwang Tapa Atishta Vidyang Chayava Madashayam Tabhyam Antaridi Brahman Lokan Chakshasya Pabritan Puyastwang Tapa Atishta Vidyang Chaiva Madashayam Tabhyam Antaridi Brahman Lokan Chakshasya Pabritan Puyastwang Tapa Atishta Vidyang Chaiva Madashayam Tabhyam Antaridi Brahman Lokan Jakshasya Pavritan. Please chant. Lokandrakshasya pavritan Vaishnavis. Bhuyastvang tapa atishta. Vidyang chayva marashrayam. Tabhyam antarhiri brahman. Lokandrakshasya pavritan. Atishta Vidyang Chaiva Marashrayam Tabhyam Antarhiri Brahman Lokanjakshasya Pavritam. Okay, synonyms. Bhuyaha. Again. Tvam. Yourself. Tapaha, penance. Atishta, be situated. Vidyam, in knowledge. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Mat, my. Ashayam, under the protection. Tabhyam, by those qualifications. Antaha, within. Hridi, in the heart. Brahman, O Brahmana. Lokan, all the worlds. Chakshasi, you will see. Apavritan, all disclosed. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. Please repeat. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. But his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. Brahma was entrusted with the work of creating the planetary systems. The Lord instructed him that when he meditated, he would very easily know where and how the planetary systems must be arranged. The directions were to come from within, and there was no necessity for anxiety in that task. Such instructions of Buddhi Yoga are directly imparted by the Lord from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 10. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatadeshtarine Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Batam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Paradina Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Batangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So the Lord is continuing to instruct Lord Brahma. We know Lord Brahma is the first created being in the universe. And unlike the prevailing scientific theory, which says that life came from matter and then simple life forms emerged and then they gradually became more complex and now we have most complex human beings. But this is refuted by the Srimad Bhagavatam and all Vedic literature that the most intelligent is the one that comes out first. And then he creates all the others, living spaces and body types. And how does he know how to do that? It's amazing. Here the Lord is speaking to him personally. You think the Lord would just hand him a plan or speak to him like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But no, he said, you will get instructions from within. Meaning, the Lord is in the heart also. He can manifest externally. He's always manifests externally. We just don't see him because we can't see spirit. Prabhupada said that's why we have artha vigraha. Our current material eyes cannot see spirit. A simple example is if somebody, we all accept that the soul exists. That's why we're on this spiritual path. But if somebody, one of us, were to leave the body right now, you don't necessarily see the soul going away. You know something has left. I think I mentioned, this is what really stirred my interest in spiritual life. As a child, I think I was about 7 or 8 at the time, maybe 9. Anyway, standing on a sidewalk, and a bus was coming along, and some guy stepped up and got hit and died right there. And as a child, I could understand something is gone. The body is lying there. The same body that was standing next to me practically a few minutes ago is lying there, but something is gone. That's why we say this person is dead. So ever since then, I was, you know, curious. What is that thing? Because you could see it. Another incident, I was on a trip through India to St. Louis, actually. But it was summer. It was very hot. So somebody said, there's a nice lake just across the border in Indiana. It's called Hardy Lake. You want to cool off, you go take a dip in Hardy Lake. So we got in the car, drove. Now in that rural section of the country, there are what's called 55-mile-an-hour two-lane highways. It's a highway, but it's also the local street because people live right along. So, but it's only one lane on each side, so everybody's going. So we're going along, and some kid was riding his bicycle. I think I've told the story before. He was riding along the shoulder, and he kept looking over his left shoulder to see what's coming, and he thought he was clear, cut across the street. Bang! He got hit, and everybody stopped, shocked. We all jumped out of the car, and you could see the life draining out. Now, the real sad part was that it happened right in front of his house. He was cutting across the street to go home. So the mother came out and saw the son. You could see on her face the horror as the life is draining out. Because he didn't die instantly. You know, he got hit, he fell. And then life slowly drains. So what is that thing that drains away, that leaves the body? That's the soul leaving the body, going on to the next destination. So the soul is in the body. While we're in the body, in the heart of this body, that's where we're residing, in the region of the heart. Not exactly in the heart itself, because people say, well, then what happens when there's a heart transfer? You know, you take the heart out, does that soul go? No, no. The person is alive, the heart is there, and that heart is not functioning properly. They bring another heart, but the soul is residing in the region of the heart, not necessarily within the heart, so it gets taken away when the heart is taken away. And it's described as floating on 10 different kinds of airs, gases we would say, but different kinds of airs, udana, upana, like that. So the soul is there, and within the region of the heart also the super soul is there. So the Lord was manifest to Brahma. He actually saw him, described him, as we heard earlier. But rather than staying there and giving him ongoing personal instruction directly like that, he said, you're going to get instruction within the heart. So how does that process work? We all are hearing the voice, we say conscience. We're hearing that voice within. Does that mean that everything that we hear within is perfect and we should do it? No, not necessarily. According to the modes of nature that you've cultivated, you're going to get specific instructions from within the heart. Example I've used many times, especially when I'm speaking in colleges, it's like listening to radio station. We know there's so many radio stations out there. Each of them has different program lists, things that they play and particular DJ who speaks in a certain way and about whatever topics he or she is interested in. So you tune into that station. You don't have any control over the programming. You're just listening. You're just listening. Whether it's a rock station or a classical station or whatever, you're just listening. You have no control over the programming. So that voice from within is like that. Depending on which station you tune into by your particular psychophysical nature, that's what you're going to hear. And people buy into it because they're thinking it's coming from within me, so it must be perfect. What I'm hearing from inside must be perfect. There was a famous case I've mentioned several times also in New York. Brigopati may remember. He was maybe there at the time. There was this serial killer called Son of Sam. And he particularly targeted couples. He would go to spots where he knew that couples would go have their romantic liaisons, and he would kill them both. So when they finally caught him, he said, God inside me was telling me to kill them. I heard the voice. God told me to kill them. So we can't depend necessarily on what we're hearing inside. It has to always be corroborated by external instructions. Why is it that Brahma didn't need external instruction? Because he is pure. And Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samavita shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamano pamanayo. He says, for one who has controlled the mind, the super soul is already reached because he's achieved tranquility. So this is the point. If you're not pure, yes, you're hearing a voice inside, but because you're not pure, you're not getting the pure instruction that Brahma is getting. Well, Brahma is pure, and the Lord told him to have no anxiety. Whatever you hear within will be proper, correct. You do it. Don't worry. So, but we're not necessarily on that platform that everything we hear inside is perfect and I should do it. No, again, it's like tuning into different kind of radio stations. On some radio stations, they actually tell you, you know, landlords are evil. Go kill your landlord, you know, like that. And some foolish person will think, yeah, my landlord is evil. I should go kill him. But no, that's why spiritual life means being trained how to think properly. Because we don't necessarily, everybody's born ignorant. Chanmana Jayate Sutra. Everybody's born ignorant. And if you remain in ignorance, you're simply going to get ignorant instructions from inside. And if you follow those ignorant instructions, you're going to get in trouble. And some people are so ignorant, even when they see that the things that they're doing are producing negative results, they keep doing the same thing. That's called madness. If you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, that's madness. So that's generally everybody in the material world is more or less mad. Because they're doing the same thing every day. Same thing every day. And it's making them miserable more and more as time goes by. And still they keep doing the same thing. Everybody wants to be happy. But in the realm of trying to be happy, again, they do the same things. Same eating, same sleeping, same mating, same way of doing things. Even though repeatedly they see, I'm not getting the happiness that I want. I'm not getting the happiness that I want. This is called puna punas charvita charvanana. Chewing the chewed. Something has already been chewed, there's no juice left. And no sane person will want to chew it again. Even your own stuff. I remember as a child, I tried maybe once or twice chewing gum and I never liked it. It just didn't. But I knew some friends of mine who would chew gum all day, all evening, all night. And when they went to bed, they would take it out and stick it on the bedpost and wake up the next day and pick up the same gum. Whereas in my own experience, I knew after a couple of chews, there was nothing left. You just throw it away. And I gave up. I never chewed gum after that. It just didn't make sense to me. Working your jaw all day long and you're not, what are you getting out of it? So material life is like that. People are working hard day and night. As Prabhupada said in a famous talk, not a moment's happiness. He's working day and night like an ass, but he's still saying home sweet home. What sweet? There's nothing sweet there. Here in America, many people, they object to working 9 to 5. They think that's horrible. I should find a way out of this 9 to 5 rut. But in China, the culture right now is 996. You work from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, 6 days a week. That's the culture. In other words, 12 hours of work every day. 9 in the morning till 9 at night. And of course, unless you live in your office, which some of them actually do for at least for a few days, or more than that. I buy the printing for the BBT, and then the main printer I use is in Guangzhou, China. And I've been there. I've been to their plant. And it's a huge complex. Think of like a college university campus or university campus. So it's like that. It's a huge complex, big buildings and whatnot. And the majority of the workers, they actually live there. Live there. They live on campus almost practically all the time. Because they're running the presses 24/7, 365. So when your shift comes, you have to be there. And hell, Prabhupada said, it's hell. So we may, somebody may say, well, why are you? Because these books have to get out there. This knowledge has to get out there. So we do that. But again, in China, here we're thinking 9 to 5 is hellish, but 996, 9 in the morning till 9 at night, unless you're living on the campus, again, like most of them do, some of them do, you have to commute for at least maybe a half an hour. So figure 13, 14 hours out of your day is simply related to work. And a lot of the young people are waking up that, no, I can't continue like this. Some of them have had, you can look it up, some young people, 25, 30 years old, are having heart attacks at their computers because a lot of them are like, in IT, they're sitting at a computer for 12 hours a day, and they're just like dying. So Prabhupada has come to get us out of this, whether it's 9 to 5 or 9 to 9, get out of this mentality of simply working hard to chew the chew. The same thing that you tried to enjoy yesterday, you'll try to enjoy again today and tomorrow and the next day, and you're still not happy. You're trying hard to accumulate wealth, but we have so many examples of people who have lots and lots of money, and they're still not happy. Millionaires, billionaires, still not happy. So an intelligent person, yehi sangsparsajam bhoga dukkha yona evate adyantamanta kote nateshu ramate buddha. This is the fifth chapter. An intelligent person will not engage in this process of trying to find happiness by bringing the senses in contact with the sense objects. So you may say, well, Lord Brahma is intelligent. He knows all this. Why did he create all this? Because Krishna doesn't interfere with our tiny, minute independence. So at the end of the universe, whoever is not pure enough to go back to Godhead, they become absorbed in the body of the Mahavishnu and remain there for billions of years until, again, they're brought out to pick up exactly where they left off. So imagine, whatever desires you're having right now, imagine if you leave today. And you stay dormant for millions and billions of years. And then you come out and you pick up again those same desires. That's exactly what happens. So Lord Brahma has to create the living quarters, the planets. He has to create the particular type of body that we each need to continue with those desires that we had from millions and billions of years ago. That's what he's doing. And he's getting those instructions from inside. So Krishna says, you have to be pure to hear pure instruction. Jita Atmana Prashantasya. So we're being trained how to become Jita Atma, how to control the mind. Don't let the mind control you. It's not everything that you hear in your mind or your heart that you should do. It has to be corroborated by spiritual master. That's why guru is absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Not that in material life, we like to just get some hint. Just give me the idea and then I'll run with it. We don't want to be completely trained. Nah, that's for children. Just give me the idea and I'll take the idea and run with it. But spiritual life is not like that. It's not give me an idea and I run with it. We want to know every moment what to do. Just like Lord Brahma. He's going to be told from within the heart at every moment what to do. But as puffed up conditioned souls, we don't like that idea. We don't want to be told every moment what to do. I don't care if it's perfect instruction. I want to figure it out myself. That's Maya's trick. As far as I'm concerned, that's Maya's biggest trick. Because every lifetime she convinces us that we are smart enough to figure it out and do it ourselves. Maya just always convinces us. And we think, yeah, I'm smart. Maybe I didn't go to college, but I'm smarter than so many college graduates. And whatever. Maya convinces us, yes, you're smart, you're intelligent, young man or young lady, or old man or old lady, wisdom through age, No. We see a lot of old people again. They're chewing the chew. They're doing the same thing that they've been doing all their life, and they're not happy. But Prophet said, the parents, they're not happy. Whole life, living together, not happy, doing the same things every day. But if the son or the daughter says, you know, I'm going to be a Hare Krishna. I want to get out of this rat race. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Do what we did. Get a good job, go to university, da, 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 da. They're not happy by that process, but they want you to take that same process. Why? An intelligent person will ask, why? Why? I see you're not happy. You're fighting all the time. Prabhupada tells a story. Two old men in India, they've been friends since life, went to grade school, grammar school, university, whole life they've been together. Every day they meet and they chat. So they, same routine, they got together one day to chat, and one friend saw the other friend and said, you look so morose, you look depressed, what's happening? No, come on, we've been friends for life, tell me what's going on. Tell me, okay, all right. I just realized today, after decades of being married to my wife, every day I try my best to please her, and she's still not pleased. That's material life. That's material life. We try our best to please this boss, that husband, that wife, that son, daughter. They're not pleased, and they will never be pleased, because they're looking for spiritual happiness that you can't give if you're in material consciousness. You cannot give somebody spiritual happiness if you yourself are in the material treadmill, trying to find happiness through eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You can't. It's not possible. So Lord Brahma is going to create the situation, but being the most intelligent, along with the living quarters and the bodies, he also disseminates spiritual knowledge. So we're in the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. He gets the knowledge from within, from the Lord, also externally. The Lord appeared externally to him. And then he disseminates that knowledge through Narada and all his sons, and it comes down to us. And that's what we should really be after. Spiritual knowledge. Cultivate spiritual knowledge. Live by the spiritual advice that we get from the Guru and Krishna in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And pass it on to others. Why would we want to pass it on to others? This is a question I always raise to students when I speak to them. Why do you think we're here? Why do we come to your school? We're famous for chanting in the streets. We're famous for distributing books previously in the airports. Everybody would see us in the airports. Why would we do that? So some of them, you know, they think, oh, you're trying to convert. No, we're not converting anybody. We're not trying to convert anybody. We're not Hindus trying to convert Muslims and Christians into Hindus. It's not a conversion process. We're disseminating knowledge. I ask them, you're in this high school or university, wherever I'm speaking. Why are you here? Because you want to learn a particular subject generally, medicine or engineering or whatever. Why did you come to this particular school? There's so many schools you could go to learn engineering or medicine or whatever. Because it had some reputation of being a good school, good teachers, good curriculum like that. So it's the same thing. We're going to the best school as far as we're concerned for spiritual knowledge, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And because we're seeing that it's effective, the knowledge that we're getting is effective in our lives, then we want to share it with you. It's a sharing process. It's not a conversion process. Just again, like if you're interested in math, you could go to Caltech, you could go to Harvard, you could go to MIT. It's really the same math, but why would you choose one school over another? Because again, of the reputation of the teachers and the curriculum like that. So spiritual life, religious life, the subject is the same wherever you go. But depending on the teachers and the curriculum, you may get more out of it from one place than another. So we're saying, many of us were raised in other traditions. Coming in contact with this tradition, we find that it's very enlightening and it's effective. The recommendations are effective when we apply them in our lives. Chanting. Now, yesterday, Bhajanarayan Maharaj, he did a wonderful presentation, brought back so many memories because I've been to Vrindavan, you know, quite a few times. And particularly, I was remembering, because our process for becoming pure enough to hear the Super Soul is chanting. Just keep chanting Hare Krishna, the day will come. Not only will you hear the Super Soul inside, clearly, Prabhupada said, the deity will speak to you. You become pure enough, you come in front of Rukmini Dwarkadi, they'll speak to you. So I was remembering, seeing all those pastime places in Vrindavan. The BBT International used to have two meetings every year. Now we only have one. It's called the AGM, the Annual General Meeting. But previously, we used to also have an editorial meeting. And that meeting was usually held in Vrindavan during Karti. So we would stay, you know, in whatever quarters were available there and participate, and then we would have our editorial meetings. We've stopped that quite some time now. We just do editorial issues virtually, you know, through Skype or whatever. But I remember once, and then we would always find some particular spiritual activity that we want to focus on. So one year we decided, let us do a retreat, a japa retreat on Govardhan, and at least one day, everybody chants 64 rounds. How many of you have ever chanted 64 rounds in one day? All right, so you understand, it's not easy. The general pace that we recommend for chanting, if you can go faster, fine, but in 1 hour, you should be able to chant 8 rounds. That's 7.5 minutes a round. So to chant 64 rounds means how many hours? Do the math. If it takes 2 hours to do 16, how many hours does it take to do 64? 8 hours. 8 hours. So that was the task that day. Everybody, all of us at this meeting, we're going to go to this retreat on Govardhan. We're going to chant 64 rounds. So got up early. I'm talking about my own experience. I got up early before Mangal Arati because we have to do the regular program also, not just chanting all day. So before Mangal Arati, I had 16 rounds chanted. Then between Mangal Arati and greeting, another 8 rounds. And then after that, we took breakfast and then we went up on Govardhan. I forget the name of this, exactly the name of this particular spot. Beautiful Kunj. And there was a valley, and then on the other side of the valley, there was Varshana. You could see the palace where Radharani grew up. Maharaj Vrishabhanu's palace, Varshana. So we're sitting here chanting, and it's not easy. Even in Vrindavan, even a sacred place, beautiful Kunj in Vrindavan, the mind tends to wander, and you have to bring it back. Bring it back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. As long as your eyes are open, you're looking around and you're seeing what's going on, the birds, the monkeys, whatever, the mind is starting to drift away. You have to bring it back. It's not easy to chant all day. It's not easy. But one thing that stood out from that day, and I'm giving advice to those of you who have never been or if you go to Vrindavan, you know, we're advised that when you go to Puri, you should see all the residents of Jagannath Puri as being four-handed. No matter what they're doing, they're eating fish, whatever they're doing, see them as being four-handed. In other words, have that spiritual vision so that you don't commit offenses. But I remember, and it still bothers me to this day, I was sitting there chanting japa all day, and I think it was after lunch, you know, we took a break for lunch, and then after lunch, I noticed, not too far away, there was a cottage, and I'd say elderly gentleman came out. His hair was all white. He had long white hair and had a white beard. Was wearing a lungi. And he was like puttering around in front of his cottage. And I think we waved to him and he waved back. Whatever. Anyway, so we're chanting. And then this woman came by. Now that guy must have been, I would guess, maybe be 60 years old or something like that. And this woman looked to be about maybe her late 30s, 40s. Sari, wearing a sari, carrying some bundle in her head. And she went by and they greeted each other and then she came back and sat down and they were chit-chatting. And in my mind, I was wondering, what is this relationship? It doesn't seem like she's really related to him and there seems like they're flirting and, you know, it was bugging me. But it's not your business at somebody else's relationship, especially in the holy place, because you immediately start committing mental offenses. Now in Kali Yuga, we don't get reaction from mental offenses. But if you don't control the mind, mental offenses becomes corporal offenses, becomes verbal offenses. So we have to learn to control the mind. So I was not giving this couple, you could say, the benefit of the doubt. They didn't look like, she looked like she was just going by and he said something to her. She turned around, sat down, and they were, you know, chit-chatting, laughing a little loosely, and my mind was, again, becoming offensive. Even though by that time I had chanted maybe 32 rounds already, 40 rounds. But still, so the tendency is there. It's not easy to become pure just by chanting in this age. And therefore, Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. In other words, chant your 16 rounds minimum. If you can do more, fine. But 16 minimum, and the rest of the day, work for Krishna. I just heard a lecture where Prabhupada is saying, I work for Krishna all day long. He said, at night I'm translating, during the daytime I'm doing. I work for Krishna all day long. It's not that you become a devotee and you don't work. That's not what being a devotee means. It doesn't mean that we stop working. It means you work for Krishna, not for some IT company. Or even if you work for some IT company, the fruit should be offered to Krishna. So, to summarize again, Lord Brahma is going to get pure instruction that he can follow from within the heart because he is pure. Every one of us is hearing some instruction from inside, but unless and until you're on the platform of purity, you can't necessarily follow those instructions. They have to be corroborated by the spiritual master. That's why, tadbhigyanartham sagarum eva abhigacchet. If you really want to achieve the goal of spiritual life, you must have a spiritual master. You must have a guru. Antarashima Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai.